Hello and welcome back to another episode of Filter Optional. I am Chico West.
And I'm Shannon West.
And today, the filter might be off a little bit.
What do you mean? The no filter is no filter? It's the same thing?
Yeah, I mean, I've noticed as we've done these shows, I'm trying to have a little filter. I think you're wearing off on me.
Well, I mean, some of that is okay, but you can be no filter.
Well, thank you.
Especially if today we've been talking about some things and trying to, and so today we're going to talk a little bit about vulnerability, I think. And so I don't mean to out the topic or whatever, but I'm going to share with you a little bit how I am vulnerable today because I have no makeup on and I have on my fleece, you know, whatever workout. It's actually not even, I can't even call it a workout thing because I hadn't been working out in forever. But
you've been taking care of,
you know, when
sick
I think
child.
About doing, when I think about filming this though, no, but when I think about filming this, when it's on our calendar, I'm like, okay, when am I going to get the shower and get all my makeup on and get camera ready, whatever that means for me. I don't have a professional like crew that does my makeup and hair and everything.
Yeah,
and
there's no makeup room here.
No, exactly. And it's pretty obvious, actually, if you look. I mean, somebody would not get any business doing makeup and hair if they actually were doing mine. But I actually worry about it and think about it. And then I think, how many episodes have we done, Kevin?
44.
Yep, I believe that is correct.
So let's think about this. As from a female perspective, it is a very vulnerable position for me to be in to think about wearing something different every time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Even if you come in to do two shows, you make sure to have a wardrobe change.
Exactly. So that it's not, you know, looking like the
same
show.
There's some vulnerability there. But if you're listening to us.
Who has 44 great looking tops in their closet that they, you know, feel good about on camera and whatever. And so I just, you know what? Today I couldn't do it. My son, Beck, got sick last night. And he was at home, and it threw my entire day off. And I had stuff
Nate's
to
at
do.
Home today.
And it's this time of year. It's December. It's the crazy after Thanksgiving holidays before Christmas, and everything's just crazy. And so, you know, forget it, people. I couldn't get my makeup on, and couldn't do my hair, and couldn't pick out a 44th or 45th shirt that I haven't worn before. That looks cute or whatever. But, you know, on me, you know, when you're on, when you watch, when sometimes when I watch myself, I'm like, oh,
but
God.
Sometimes,
you know,
though, that's true. Because you can watch us on Facebook Live.
Yes,
you can rewatch the episode on Facebook. You can watch it on YouTube.
Are you trying to do a plug?
But also, sometimes you can just listen to us on
iTunes.
If
you're listening to me now, you can't see me. So, ha ha, you can't see me with no makeup on. And, but
yes. So, I like that little plug. And you didn't take it away. I was talking to you because I've been, you know, we just got back from Thanksgiving and doing our traveling. And we went down to the lake and went to the Texas game. And it was a nice time.
It was nice.
But I was thinking, I've been reading, I've really gotten into, and you know me, part of my personality, I get stuck on different authors, or if I'm reading the Bible, I get stuck on a verse,
or verses. Or when you were in graduate school, when we were first married, and you were taking human development class, I swear you were diagnosing me with things.
No, abnormal.
Abnormal, even worse.
Human development is having childbirth, like, Piaget stuff like that.
Right,
you know.
Right.
Abnormal, I was diagnosing you and all your friends with different personality disorders.
Yes. Anytime you were studying a certain personality disorder, you would come home and like try to see if I fit the category and then see which friends I have that fit the categories.
And sometimes I wanted you to take the Milan, you know, a tool used for that.
I don't know what that is.
It's a test. It's like the MMPI.
Because either you... Okay, see, I don't know what that is, and you've talked about the DSM-4.
It's the 5
and
now.
I know, on this show, and I'm like, I only know what that is because you used to be like, well, go check out the that's the Diagnostic
Statistical Manual for Mental Disorders.
Right, manual. So it's a manual that it's like an encyclopedia for mental disorders. So you can look up, you know, borderline or histrionic, right? Or
things
depression, like depression or
trichotillomania
or schizophrenia, but it's not called schizophrenia anymore, is it?
Yeah, it's still called schizophrenia.
Okay, but
multiple personality is called multiple personality. It's DID.
Right, and it's changed from the DSM-4 to the DSM-5 because then certain things are taken out.
And added.
And added anyway. That's not really what we're talking about. But
what we're talking about, but you know me. It's,
so you do, you get stuck.
I get stuck. Some of that is my ADD. Some of it is I just find, you know, some of my, you know, for anybody out there that's interested, some of my favorite authors are Brennan Manning, Henry Nouwen. I love Timothy Keller. But I've gotten really into Brené Brown. I kind of want to hang out with this lady.
And you heard Brené Brown mention that Henry Nouwen was one of her favorite authors, but she pronounced his last name differently. And you're like, wait, it's Nouwen. And I'm like, well, how do you know?
But
we're still not sure.
Probably she did it correctly because she has her PhD. I only have my master's.
Yeah. What'd she say? Nouwen or something?
Nouwen.
Yeah.
Yes.
Anyway.
But, you know, so I've been reading a lot of Brené Brown, and, you know, a lot of you probably have seen 34 or 35 million people have seen her YouTube TED Talk on vulnerability.
Right.
But I've been reading this book, Dare to Lead, and it's just been blowing me away and just talking about vulnerability. And, man, vulnerability is scary. I work in the treatment industry. I've been doing this my whole adult life. I've been sober 30 years. And it's like when I think I know what vulnerability is, I'm still blown away. I still go deeper and find it even more so. Right. Vulnerability's scary.
Yeah, because I have the question is, you know, is me admitting I'm not coming here with makeup on or a wardrobe, you know, that was whatever picked out, and is that being vulnerable? Is that the definition? I mean, you know, I mean, it's me being shallow, maybe, or I don't know, but is that vulnerability?
Well, vulnerability is, vulnerability is really talking about the heart. You know, vulnerability is delving in. I mean, if you're watching this episode right now, people can probably pick up, she just has her sweats on and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And you're acknowledging it, and that's pretty classic. But vulnerability is really going to the heart of the issue. And I thought about this episode is because I've been wrestling with stuff, you know, for a while now, and I like it. We're in a season right now. Technically, we're in autumn, but a lot of people think, oh, now it's December, we're starting winter. But, you know, winter doesn't start till December 21st.
Right.
And I think as people, we go through different seasons, similar to the seasons we have, you know, winter, you know, spring, summer, and fall.
Yes.
And I like that analogy.
Sorry.
That's all right. But my deal is I was sharing with you this weekend. I got up early, had my quiet time, was prayer and reading, and I wrote out a journal, and I just kind of poured my heart out into my journal, and I truly, right now on this show, I want to thank you, because I would, you know, watch that vulnerability TED Talk, and I like what Brené Brown said about women. She said, "You show me a woman who can actually sit with a man with real vulnerability and fear, and I will show you a woman who's done some great work." And you did that for me this weekend. You gave me that opportunity to share that when I was just writing to the
Meaning a Lord. Woman that can sit with a man while he is sharing vulnerability, correct?
Yes.
Not a woman. Sometimes you can kind of misinterpret that by saying a
woman
thank you. That sits in vulnerability, meaning that would mean me being vulnerable. But no, it was a woman sitting with a man while the man shares
his
vulnerability. Right.
His vulnerability and his fear. And you did it, and you allowed me to share that without getting in and fixing me. You know, and you just really had this good connecting moment.
Yes. Yeah. I think so. I mean, it could have been because it was early in the morning and I'm not a morning person, and I knew that you were going to need to share with me anyway, and so I was going to allow it. But I, you know, I can appreciate the vulnerability once you shared.
Yes.
Yes, but it could have been the time of the day, but not really. But
it could have been the time of the day. But what I what I was sharing is I got it right here. I'll share a little bit of it, about it, and I struggle because sometimes, you know, vulnerability is tough. I don't want to have this false vulnerability, you know, but I'm going to open up right now on our podcast and talk about, you know, on December 1st is when I wrote this. Lord, I'm sitting here not sure what's going on emotionally and spiritually with me. You know, I'm struggling with others and I'm focused on others rather than looking at my own stuff. You know, and then I went in a little deeper and I said, and Lord, I am trying to get my validation from outside sources rather than you. You know, I want others to find value in me as a treatment provider and counselor and business leader. Lord, I need affirmation, and yet I come across like I don't need it. And right. So there's really not much humility. And that's why I love what I've been reading with.
There's not much humility. What do you mean?
You know, if I'm humble, you know, if I'm trying to exalt myself, you know, right there where I was saying, if I'm trying to exalt myself, you know, I'll be humbled.
Right.
You know, if I humble myself, I'll be exalted.
Okay. So, yeah. You don't need the outside sources.
I don't need the outside sources, but I just want to humble myself. So, and I'll be exalted. That, yeah. You know, that's what it says. And the deal is, it's like, I don't know what it is, Shannon, but I know me. I want to put it in first person instead of third person. I know me. I struggle with just comparing to the outside world. I believe people do as in general right. terms, yeah. But I just know that I struggle with it. I struggle with, okay, hey, am I doing the right thing? And then the deal is when I back away and I appreciate, this is a random thought, I appreciate my ADD when I'm not thinking about others, when I'm just doing my thing.
Yes, I can see that.
You know, and yeah, and I'm being who I am.
Yes.
It is. I get cool moments. I get those moments where, man, if I'm humbled and I'm really connecting with people. I connected with my buddy Gary Fisher today, and his brother-in-law died, and he just goes, "Hey, Chico, Gary's in his 60s, and we've been friends for 20 plus years, and I just a great friend, also a mentor in many ways, but he's just going, hey, Chico, can you give me some scripture? Because I'm going to be, you know, speaking at my brother-in-law's funeral.
Right.
You know, he goes, you're my go-to guy.
Yeah, so that's it, affirmation.
It was affirmation. I wasn't looking for it. I wasn't seeking it.
Right.
That's what I'm talking about. It's like, that's where my struggle is when I'm looking for it, I struggle more. And then then fear gets in the way. And so with validation, it's like, I want that validation, but I want vulnerability because, man, it just kind of, those messages that go on our head, I don't know, go in our head. I'm going to say go on in my head of, man, I am, you know, I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy enough or stuff like that is just, imagine it's tough sometimes being married to me.
Well,
you know,
I'm not no comment. Really, Kevin? Come on,
what am
I? Yeah, right. Yeah.
But I think about that. Is like I think, man. It's like I, cause man, I am. I struggle. I struggle, you know, with just a lot of different things, and I get fearful if I admit my struggle.
Yeah, don't you think? That, I mean, I'm not minimizing it at all, but that's everyone
mm-hmm.
should be. I mean, you know, it was hard for me to admit that I mean, this is a whatever first world problem, but I, you know, admitting that I'd struggled with not being able to get my face on and do all that kind of stuff. I mean, you know, we all struggle, but it's, we've talked about it on the podcast before, struggling well. How do you struggle well? Well, maybe you have to identify your struggles.
You have to identify your struggles and be willing to step into that vulnerability.
Yes.
You know, because that vulnerability, you know, is, it really takes it away.
Well, I think people get confused with, so help me kind of process this. People get confused with being vulnerable and kind of exposing. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't need to go in front of, you know, the PTA and express your vulnerability or your struggles or the church or wherever. You know, you don't have to necessarily. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, how
But here's the deal. I think that's the misconception, you know, because vulnerability, you know, examples of courage is, you know, uncertainty, risk, and emotional exposure. You know, so a church needs that.
Wait, repeat. What's that?
Courage. You know, the examples of courage.
Okay.
Okay. Is uncertainty, risk, and emotional exposure.
Okay.
Okay. And so if we have, and you need all three of those for courage. And the deal is sometimes you got to be courageous. You know, vulnerability isn't, is not necessarily going in and, like me, I'm a recovering alcoholic, is I don't go in and, hey, I'm a recovered alcoholic to the PTA. It doesn't have the context,
right,
okay?
Right.
Now, if you're talking about, you know, hey, for some PTA event, we need to address there's been a rash of, you know, drunk driving accidents, right, or stuff like that. Hey, I would expose that I'm,
yeah,
you know,
can step into that
and that
vulnerability.
That's a vulnerable moment. But vulnerability, I think, needs to happen everywhere. When we don't have that vulnerability, I don't think we truly have connection. And so that the reason I wanted to talk about this, and I'm glad you're asking those questions, is when I struggle because I want to be a vulnerable man, you know, almost all the time.
Yes.
And the deal is, when I am vulnerable, I set myself up to get, sometimes go into shame, sometimes then beat myself up.
Yeah.
You know, and the deal is, when I'm not around people that are vulnerable, I struggle with that. And so then what happens? I do what they do and I become judgmental. You know, but I have true connecting moments with people that are vulnerable and not this surface stuff.
Right.
You know, and it's like that uncertainty, risk, and exposure. You know, if we don't have those things, all of us are broken. Brennan Manning talks about that in the Ragamuffin Gospel. You know, and I love his quote about that. I'm going to pull it up. Is to be human is to be poor. All of us are broken. All of us are in need. The greatest symptom of our brokenness is not acknowledging it.
Right.
And so part of vulnerability is acknowledging our brokenness. It's only in pride that our need goes unmet. It's only in pride that our brokenness is without healing. We serve a good, loving Father who has always loved us. When we stop trying to prove to ourselves, God, and others that we have our lives together, we actually begin to truly live. There is an overwhelming freedom, joy, and love in living with the reality that we are wholly accepted and loved just as we are. May you discover that abundant life available to you as you live poor in spirit.
Right. So stepping out, I mean, I hate to keep going back to my personal today example, but, you know, stepping out in vulnerability allows me to have freedom. And, like, I right now, as I'm sitting here, I really could care less what I look like. I really could care less what I look like when 2 hours ago I was really concerned about what I look like.
Yeah. So right there, your heart, you were nervous, you were fearful. So right there, it's like, I like what,
now I'm not going to dress up ever again.
Just do this every show.
Yeah, exactly. The new me. Yeah.
You know, if you want to see, the ego go to DEFCON 1, get, anywhere close to shame. What makes embracing vulnerability feel the most terrifying is how taking off the armor and exposing our hearts can open us to experiencing shame. And so it's, and she goes in and talks about the ego. It's like so many times that vulnerability opens us up to experiencing shame.
Well, because, you know, this whole thing is not about how I look. You're right. It boils down to the shame of me thinking that people are going to be like, well, she doesn't have it all together because she couldn't even take a shower today. You know, I mean, like, how, you know, she's doing this podcast and she's, you know, doing all her business and has all her work and her kids and all this stuff. And then, but she can't even put on, you know, some makeup to do this podcast. I mean, that, you know, it boils down to what I fear of the shame of my entire life. It's not really about how I look. I mean, I can't, I'm not a beauty queen. I'm not a movie star on purpose. Like, no one's discovered me on camera, you know? I mean...
You're a beauty queen to me.
Yeah, right. I know.
But here's the deal.
I'm just saying that it doesn't boil down to how I look. It boils down to me...
You tell yourself.
What I tell myself about how people are going to think, like, that my extent that I don't have it all together, that I couldn't... Because I am always shocked when people... always look so put together. Like, that to me translates to their life, if that makes sense.
But that goes
in. Their life could be totally falling apart, but they could look totally put together.
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying.
And that's where I love embracing that vulnerability. But then if you go even to the heart of it, even deeper right there, Shannon, is, you're comparing, I like this little saying, you're comparing your insides to other people's outsides.
Yes, correct.
And so then what happens with shame is, you know, when we don't embrace vulnerability, we avoid it at all costs. The shame kicks in, and then the messages that go on in your head as it relates to shame is, I don't have it all together. Right. I'm not good enough. Right. You know, I don't have value, you know, and so all of a sudden.
And then it spills over to everything else.
Yeah, and then our inadequacy comes up, you know, and are those things. I know that I truly want to embrace my brokenness more because I don't have it all together. I'm 5'7". You know?
Chico, you're 5'8". That's what you've always said.
I've always said it, but I just went to Cooper back in August, and I'm 5'7 and a half. I've shrunk a half inch at 51 years old. I'm not a tall guy, you know, I'm not anywhere near tall, you know, and I will joke, when people make jokes at 51 years later, they still make jokes about my height.
Yes.
And you know what? At times it hurts.
Right.
You know, and I don't go there and share that hurts.
Right.
You know, people make jokes about me being kind of all over the map.
Yes.
And times I'm all right with that. But then other times it hurts. And what I tell myself.
Well, they talk about all the, you know, people that use humor. I mean, Robin Williams. I mean, you know, people that are, you know, they're depressed. It's because they've used humor. They may have never stepped into the vulnerability of them actually, the self-deprecation.
Yes, comes out.
Gets out of control, and they've never, like, admitted that, maybe sometimes the self-deprecation hurts me if somebody else is.
Yeah, and the deal is like, I know me, and I spend enough time with people on a deeper level that, man, we all are broken, and but we can all also, many people put off this false front. They have all their makeup. They put all together, like what you were talking about. And that's the thing that it's like, man, what what is going on? And I believe what's going on is fear. That fear of if I'm vulnerable and people really know me, they're not going to like me, or they're not going to, you know, respect
me
or accept me.
Yeah.
And so I know I struggle with fear. I tell you that I struggle with fear.
Yes.
But also I know that, man, it's crazy. I struggle with fear, but then also I have some incredibly joyful moments. And so
I hope so.
Yes. But the deal is, Shannon, I say that because I don't think I would have those extremely joyful moments if I didn't embrace my vulnerability. If I wasn't exposing, you know, my fears and my shames.
Right.
If I wasn't, you know, stepping into it, and I truly am grateful that I shared, you know, my journal with you and just talked about, you know, I went deeper there and was talking about some personal issues with personal people in my life.
Right.
And just wanting to have that reconciliation.
Right. Yeah.
And it's scary and it's lonely. You know, and I don't want to have this false vulnerability, but I do want to, like what Brennan Mann is saying, he's taking scripture to be poor in spirit, what Jesus was all about in the Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit. It's like, embrace the fact that I really don't have anything except him, meaning Jesus.
Right.
And it's scary to go there.
Yes. Yeah.
And I want to be more able to have that. I love, you know, Brené she talks about the heart of a daring leadership. She talks about learning how to rumble in vulnerability. And what she says here, a rumble is a discussion, conversation, or meeting defined by commitment to lean into vulnerability, to stay curious and genuine, to stick with the messy middle of the problem identification, and solving to take a break and circle back when necessary, to be fearless in owning our parts, and as psychologist Harriet Lerner teaches us, to listen with the same passion with which we want to be heard. Rumbling with the vulnerability. I love that concept. But also I love, you know, I've talked about curiosity a bunch. It's like, how can I get curious? Because I want, when I'm curious with you, I want to get to better know you when you're being vulnerable. But also I've learned sometimes I don't need to be curious. I just need to listen. And I struggle with that.
Yes. Yes. Agreed.
No. So that, I mean, it's wild because, how I think it's transformative if you and I can be constantly vulnerable. It's, I think married couples, I know there's times where I don't feel comfortable being vulnerable with you. Today I do. You know, and I know there's times that you haven't felt being comfortable being vulnerable with me.
Correct. Yeah.
You know, and so it's like, how do we step into that? You know, yeah. But that's the scary part.
Yes. I guess, I mean, yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Hey, you have anything to add?
No, I mean, I'm trying to, you know,
what do you think gets in your way of being vulnerable with me?
I don't know. I think I can be.
I think you have.
Yeah.
But I think there's times you're not.
Yeah. I mean, I don't necessarily, certain things that I'm thinking of in my head, I only share with you. I'm not ready to be vulnerable with the rest of the world or our audience of two or whatever. But I don't know. So I'm not sure exactly what you're asking me.
Is it fear?
What fear? I'm not. I'm kind of...
What do you think gets in the way from you being vulnerable with me? I know for me, at times, it's fear. It's fear of rejection. And I'm not saying that you've rejected me. That's just what I tell myself.
Yeah, no, I understand
that. I mean,
I don't think that's me.
I think for me, it's that fear of rejection. It's fear of not living up to this perceived what a husband's supposed to be. You know, it's fear of, yeah, I think sometimes I'm fearful that you're going to think I'm nuts.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I know those things. And so it's wild to when I think about it.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I would need to think of a specific example. Like, I can't think of anything that I'm not vulnerable with you at this moment. I don't know how to make sense of what I'm saying right now.
I just want to ask a minute.
Yeah.
Chico, do you ever get fearful because you worry about if your vulnerability will be perceived as less masculine than what you like to project?
Yes. And that's what...
Okay, so see, that's what
I can relate to.
Okay, see...
That's at the heart of the man.
Yes.
You know, is that's where I love what Brené Brown was saying when she was talking about shame is... that she gave an example of a book signing, and she goes, this guy came up and goes, I really like your books, but I have to ask you a question. How come it's only about women?
Because you know, I am a woman.
And she goes, you know,
good point, though.
But he said, you know, you're a researcher and you're researching all this. You know, how come only about a woman? Because here's the deal is, yeah, guys might perceive me as weak, but these three books that you just signed for my wife and my three daughters, they're the hardest on me. You know, because if I'm not strong enough, they see me as weak. I have to be, you know, that prince in shining armor. And then she goes, from that moment, she's done then all this research to go, why is it in our culture that women perceive that? You know, and so it goes in that, hey, if I am vulnerable, then I'm weak and I'm not good enough and I don't have my shit together. And so that, you know,
right.
and
it's
that
more
could
acceptable.
Be scary
well, see, it's
for
more
a woman.
Acceptable for a woman to be vulnerable. So that's why I'm having trouble thinking I'm not fearful to be vulnerable with you. I'm just not. I mean, I have more trouble trying to figure out exactly what I'm feeling or, you know, exactly what my vulnerabilities are. I have trouble expressing that more than I do actually being vulnerable. Like, that doesn't scare me, if that makes sense. I may not be able to articulate exactly what I'm feeling or what I'm going through without some processing, but
see, in her research, she's saying that everybody struggles with vulnerability, so it's not women that are easier. So
I didn't say that I didn't struggle with vulnerability. What I said was I don't really struggle with being vulnerable to you.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. It was easier for Chico to identify what presents him or prevents him from being vulnerable with you.
To me.
You can't put your finger on an exact emotion.
Yes, you were talking specifically about me. Of course I'm struggle with vulnerability to the outside world and everybody else. I mean, you're my safe place, which could make it harder for you to be vulnerable if you're struggling because you're supposed to be the strong one. And, you know, and if you perceive, but I don't perceive that as weakness. See, I perceive it more as a strength. That's why I always tell people if they're having problems with their husband or something like that, I'm like, well, that's one thing Chico's really good at. He will actually listen and he will own, you know, whatever. He'll admit when he's wrong and he, you know, can step into that. I mean, I've always appreciated that about you. And so, I mean, I just...
Well, thank you.
So, yeah. So I don't see that as a weakness. So, but I can see how as a man you would see that, but... You were asking specifically.
Yeah, you can't get that thought out of your head, no matter what.
Right.
I mean,
it's innate. I don't know where it comes from. I'd love to see research about it, but it is that struggle that we're supposed to be strong and have it all together and not be fearful. And you know, I know that's where it, it dries from. And the, and then the deal is, you know, it, it's interesting. I love your example to start the show about, oh, do I have it all together? Because right. there's this perception for women, she goes on and talks about that, that y'all are supposed to have it all together. And she gives this illustration of some, you know, beauty makeup commercial from years ago. And she goes, I think that commercial actually sold more antidepressants than than actual their cream. Because it, it she said the song, you would know it if said it. But, oh, you know, get up in the morning.
So take listen the- to the, this is relevant to now. Have you heard all the hubbub about the Peloton commercials? Have you, Kevin? Okay, so it's this, like, super attractive, thin, young woman. And she comes in and she's like, oh, you got me a Peloton for Christmas or whatever. And then she's like, oh, I don't want to do that or whatever. And then she comes in the door. The next scene is she comes in the door and she goes, I've been doing it 5 days in a row, you know, who would have thought or whatever. And then she's sitting on the couch next to her husband in her clean home and, you know, whatever. And she's like, thank you so much or whatever. Everybody is going nuts over this. Yeah. Like, you don't
know. It's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
It's just really outdated.
It's outdated and it's really, just not hitting the people that it wants to. And so they're like, oh, this already attractive, skinny girl it got a Peloton, and she's like 5 days.
Yeah,
and
that's so, that's not who you should be targeting. You know what I mean?
And they're doing all these parodies on it. Like, there's like, they're doing like, oh, they're saying, my wife cleared off this spot on the carpet for me to do push-ups every day. You know, and he was like, I'm so thankful that she cleared off this spot. What? And then he's like, and then he comes back and he's like, I'm on day 5 doing my push-ups. And it's everybody is just taking it to an, I mean, it'll either really sell some Pelotons because it just the chatter of it, or people are going to riot because, anyway, it's just.
But there's that. People think
they're like, they did a whole commercial on it, like showing her having it all together. It's like.
Well, and that's what the commercial was, having it all together and then be there for your man and never showing it, not showing vulnerability, you know, because you have to have it all together. It's not about weakness, but it's really about you as a wife and a mother.
And then, by the way, don't give your wife a piece of exercise equipment unless she asked for it very specifically.
Yes.
I mean,
but that's the deal is, so the vulnerability's different for men and, you know, different for women.
Yes.
For women, it's not about y'all have to have it all together. If you don't have it all together, then there's something wrong with you.
Yes.
And so that's what I like. You don't have it all together today. That doesn't make you less than or better than or
and
anything.
And no one watching the TV has it as together as this woman in the commercial. Even she's faking it. Yeah. You know,
of course.
I mean, she's paid to fake it. But, you know, so that's all I'm saying is that.
And just for the record, there is still an element of, you know, vanity and pride when it comes to male media personalities as well. But the pressure isn't anything like what it is for women.
No. At all.
Not even close.
I mean, and women,
especially
women are
age,
a lot.
Especially as we age. Men can, I mean, Robert Redford is still hot, you know, I mean, but.
Yeah. But the deal is like, I was thinking about this is, as well as we talk about it is, I struggle with vulnerability with my peers because they'll call me different names and, you know, I'll do the same thing and stuff like that. But then I have gotten really deep with a lot of my peers. And I think in some ways deeper than you have probably with your peers because there's this perception if you really get vulnerable with your peers, man, women will eat their own.
Yeah.
And it is not, I mean, it is not pretty. And, you know, we've seen that.
That's another topic, but.
But that's that thing. That's that thing that where women struggle with the vulnerability.
Yes.
We struggle with it because we don't want to be weak or perceived as weak.
Right.
You know, so I do believe that. But I've just been embracing it and I want to say, man, I am broken and I don't have my shit together.
Yeah,
and
send
people to Casa Colina to this broken guy.
Yeah, that's great. No, you can send him because I have my shit together, so I'm good.
But the deal is, it's all right. We embrace brokenness at Casa Colina.
Yes, we do.
And so hopefully it's a...
in our home.
and in our home. But, yeah. You know, that's why I love... kind of wrote a thing about home. Did you see that?
Yes, you keep reading stuff.
I know, and you get bogged by it. Home is not just a physical enclosure, but it's a shelter from the storm of life. Home is a place where you can get rejuvenated, recharged, and restored. It's warm and hospitable, filled with food, rest, nourishment, safety, and beauty. It's a place to find rest for not just your body, but your mind and soul. At Casa Clean, it is our desire to welcome you into not only our home, but also our hearts. And so I want to know people's hearts. I want people to know my heart.
Yeah, you didn't write that, did you?
Yeah, you like that, don't
just
you?
To be vulnerable. Just to call you out.
Kay so wrote you can it. Be vulnerable. Kay wrote
yeah,
it.
I
gave her the ideas, okay?
I knew that.
You also gave her credit on the show, so
there yes.
you
go.
Yes, it's good. Okay, well.
All right. So thank you, and until next time.
Yeah, let me go home and get my shit together.
All right.
I try to.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.